Yeah.
Why do you?
I don't know. I'm just so.
She got a lot of sound effects.
Yeah, and I'm affirming of this episode. Very affirming. I approve.
All right, don't make me laugh. Hi, welcome to season 15 of She Builds Podcast, where we share stories about women in the design and construction field, one lady at a time.
This season's theme is collective impact, exploring AEC organizations and professionals shaping more inclusive and innovative built environments.
Quick disclaimer, we are not experts. We are just sharing stories about the information that we find as friends having a fun conversation. If you find an error, send us an email and we'll all continue learning. Today, we want to shine a spotlight on the National Organization of Minority Architects, aka NOMA, and Drusy Chase, wife of founder John Chase, who contributed to the organization from the beginning.
Ooh, exciting.
I'm Nurjini Rivas, excited for Jessica and Lizzie, who have a She Builds podcast trip coming up while I stay where I am right now in Houston, Texas.
You will be missed. I am Jessica Rogers, and I'm excited. Let's see how many times we could say excited in one episode. To be heading to Charleston this week for the Women in Construction Conference, and I'm based out of Miami, Florida.
Hi there, I'm Lizzie Rahr. Packing and creating the itinerary for Charleston, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois. Okay, let's get this party started. Woo-hoo. The time was June 20 to 24 of 1971. The place, the AIA National Convention in Detroit, Michigan. A group of African-American architects from all over the United States met to discuss how important it was to start an organization with a mission to advance the visibility and professional development of minority architects.
Hear, hear.
I'm already loving the direction that we're heading. Talks were probably brewing much earlier, but all the resources state that this was the starting point. And let me tell you, these people meant business. They were not all talk and no action. They got together again on November 12th, 1971 at the Paradise Island Hotel in Nassau, Bahamas, and invited others to take part in the meeting.
Talk about an invitation.
Yeah.
Twist my arm, why don't you? And let's go to the Bahamas. You know, I've heard this story a dozen times. You know, at least the part specifically of it stemming from the AIA convention. I don't remember hearing about the part that they met at the Bahamas, though.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. I would not say no to a trip to the Bahamas.
Right?
If you were like, let's start an organization and we'll do it in the Bahamas. Yeah, why not?
Could you imagine if Nurjini was like, hey, I have this idea of a podcast. Let's go to Loom and discuss this.
Say less.
And they would be like,
yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Great.
Next thing you know, we're going to have a mezcal flight and then we'll be saying yes to who knows what.
Actually, I have an idea I want to pitch you for the podcast, so I'll remember this. We're going to discuss it at the Loom.
Yeah, why not?
Exactly.
I like that.
No other reason needed. Enough said.
So I searched why this location, because I was like, why the Bahamas? But I couldn't find the answer. And honestly, maybe the right question is, why not meet to discuss important work by the beach?
Okay, I am ready.
Let's do this.
All right. The official documented founding members present at the Bahamas were 14 architects. So bear with me because I'm about to hit you with a lot of names and quick backgrounds. Let me take a deep breath. William M. Brown Jr. from New Jersey. Leroy Campbell, based in Washington, D.C., Wendell Campbell, who had a firm in Chicago, John S. Chase, the first African-American licensed to practice architecture in the state of Texas and to be elevated to the AIA College of Fellows, James C. Dodd, known as Sacramento, California's first African-American architect, Louis Fry Sr., academic and firm owner in Washington, D.C., Kenneth G. Groggs, the first African-American to serve as Illinois state architect. Nelson Arthur Harris, Sr., who had the first Black-owned architecture practice in Illinois. J. Vincent Johnson, who in 1967 was appointed by President Johnson to serve on the National Commission on Urban Problems. Pedro F. Lopez, firm owner licensed in New York and New Jersey. E. H. McDowell, first Black architect registered in Kansas and accepted by the AIA in the state of Kansas. Robert J. Nash, who owned a firm in Washington, D.C., and was the first Black architect elected to national AIA office. Harold Williams, who owned a firm in Los Angeles, California, and practiced architecture for over 50 years. And last in this list, but certainly not least, Robert Wilson, who was incredibly connected and involved throughout industry organizations, universities, publications, architecture, real estate, you name it, he was probably doing it.
You weren't kidding about those names.
Nope.
All pioneers and trailblazers. Might I add, some of these men are still living today. I attended the NOMA conference last year in Kansas, and it's inspiring to see the organization mention and recognize these men and saying their names out loud.
That's lovely. They expanded their mission to be for minority design professionals to work together to fight discriminatory policies that limit or bar minority architects from participating in design and construction programs.
Great mission.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really great in the near future to do a charrette where we can do a deep dive, more research, or talk about more about NOMA, because I'd love to learn how did they go about expanding their mission in their early days? What were their first initiatives? How did they grow to other cities? How is NOMA organized today? How many cities have chapters? Student organizations, who are they? Where are they? How have they been dealing with the shifting policies of the U.S. government? Too many questions, too little time.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really interesting to know the early day strategies that they took and then the stats from then to now.
It might be sooner than you think. Listeners, we'll just have to wait and see.
Oh, hey. I'm sure it wasn't lost on you that none of those founding member names sounded like women were included.
I did clock that.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. According to anecdotes, women played a key role in NOMA's inception and early growth. During my research for this episode, I came across a podcast called Beyond the Surface. They have an episode where they interviewed June Campbell, wife of founder Wendell Campbell. And June talked about how from the early NOMA days, women were doing behind-the-scenes work, making phone calls, organizing outreach efforts, building networks and support that would lead to NOMA's growth.
Not surprised at all.
Agreed. This gives me the vibes of Dorothy Mae Richardson, episode 22 lady, who organized a group to help better her community.
Yeah.
Also, remember the Bahamas trip that was the first official NOMA meeting?
Of course.
How could we forget?
Yeah.
It was really the wives that put that trip together. They organized the whole shebang.
Of course they did. That is why it was in the Bahamas. They were like, we want to be near a beach drinking a delicious tropical beverage. And what better place to get the creative juices flowing?
Talk about a girl's trip, but with a purpose. I love it.
Yeah. I'll put a link to this podcast on the show notes so you can listen to the episode yourself, because I enjoyed it. And June shares a lot of insight into her life. And she's joined by her daughter and former NOMA president, Brian Hudson. They go into a lot of great details that I don't have time to share today because I spent time naming 14 people earlier in this episode. But I also want time to talk about Drusy and the Caryatids. So anyway, go to the show notes, check out Beyond the Surface.
I will definitely have to listen to that. It sounds really good.
Agreed.
All right. Like I was saying before, the wives of the NOMA founders are the unsung heroes of the story. Without them, who knows what the organization would be? One of those wives involved in the early days was Drusy Chase. Let's learn about her.
Yeah, let's. I'm excited to hear how Drusy helped start this organization.
Yes, let's get the behind the scenes.
The time was August 4th, 1931. The place, Austin, Texas. Drusy Ray Rucker was born. She was the second oldest kid of Beatrice Aldrich Rucker and John Rucker. She had two sisters, Bernice and Johnny, or maybe Joni. Let's say Joni. And one brother, John Rucker.
Welcome to the world, Drusy. Also, naming two of your children Johnny and John feels risky.
Maybe one is Joni.
Let's go with Joni.
Yeah, I hope it's Joni. I hope it is. If they're calling one, they're getting both, you know? Otherwise, it would be hard. I say this as my dad and my brother have the same name, so I guess I can't really talk about it, but it got confusing sometimes, so I can only imagine that it would be tricky.
Well, at least they didn't call you, like, Dahlia or something. Like, tried to find a female version of
Lizzie. You could have been Dahlia.
If you could see the face that she is making right
now. No, there's a better version of that. But anyway.
Dahlia?
Dahlia.
Dahlia.
That's a... No, well, I guess.
Okay, well...
Anyway.
That's what I would choose.
Okay. Well, I know what you mean, because that happened to me growing up. Because my dad's name is Jerry... Every time my mom would call my dad, I thought I was hearing like the last part of my name. So I would show up. I would be like, what do you want, mom?
Yeah.
But very much more respectful than that. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Anyway. In time, I learned to like differentiate the intonation or anyway. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that happens a lot, right? Where like parents name their kid after themselves and they have the same name. But I don't know why the siblings with almost the same name. It just feels very, I don't know. Anyway, more about Drusy.
What's funny about this is that you can have all the different names sound alike, not sound alike. We all know that parents and grandparents will still call out all the names in your family tree until they get to you.
It's true.
Because they just like forget, but they just go down the list. It's like
so true. Okay. Notably, Drusy was able to get her education on, even though we're talking the first half of the 21st, well, actually the 20th century. And you know that's not always a given. But it was for Drusy. She graduated from Hudson-Tillotson University with a BA in English at 19 years old. Hello, smart cookie over here.
Whoa. First off, really glad to hear that she was able to go to school during this time, like you said, but also, okay, prodigy vibes. Graduating college at 19 is wild, but good for her.
Oh, yeah. This is very impressive.
So apparently by the 1940s, you could become a professionally accredited teacher, which is cool. But the problem was you had to be 21 and our girl was 19. But like I said, smart cookie, she fought for her right to teach, proved that she had what it took even at such an early age, and they made an exception for her. And then she taught at the Blackshear Elementary in Austin.
Wow. I love her persistence. Way to prove yourself, Drusy.
Mm-hmm. I love this so much.
Hey, designers and curious minds. Ever wondered about the stories hiding within your building's walls? I'm Carrie Seaburn, structural engineer and host of Unstruct, the podcast that decodes and simplifies major concepts of structural design. Behind the math and physics, structural engineering simply predicts building behavior. Join me as we simplify the complex, making structural design accessible to everyone.
Nowadays, instead of measuring it via cost, we're saying, well, what about carbon, you know? We've got two levers now that we can, if an architect has an inefficient design, we can hit them with two levers, if you like.
The official casualty figure is 55,000. Everybody I talked to told me that the actual figure is at least three times as much. And I believe that. I mean, seeing what I saw, Turkish codes are good, and they have been improving, but compliance was completely lacking.
Fluent in steel, concrete, masonry, and timber design, I'll bring you leading engineers to dissect the tales behind their building structure. Whether you're an architect, contractor, engineer, or just love a good story, this podcast is for you.
Yeah, beam penetrations, that's a fun topic on this project.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Unstruct. From within your walls, hear the story behind how your building stands today.
About a decade later, Ducey's minding her own business at a friend's wedding, and there's this dude that was asked last minute to be a groomsman because the original guy fell through. So groomsman plan B has access to everyone at the wedding. He's doing his thing and spots this dazzling lady and was like, oh, hey, gotta talk to her. Turns out it was Ducey, and he was smitten. He asked her out several times, and she was like, if you want to be my lover, you got to talk with my dad.
I forgot this. A traditionalist.
I don't think that's how the song goes.
It is today.
But I like the sentiments.
So, groomsman B said, challenge accepted. Met up with Dad Rucker, and the two of them hit it off like a house on fire.
Okay.
Word on the street is that they bonded over baseball.
Oh.
And with Dad's approval, not only did Ducey go out with groomsman B, but she married him shortly after in 1950. And that's the Ducey and John Chase love story.
Amazing. Glad that Dad Rucker approved and that it all worked out.
Cute.
John graduated from UT Austin School of Architecture, Hook'em Horns, and in 1952, they moved to Houston. He began teaching at Texas Southern University and started his own architecture practice after having a hard time finding a job at a firm due to nothing other than the color of his skin.
Ugh. I'm very sad to hear this, even though it isn't surprising for the time. Still a bummer every time we hear that kind of thing, though. And I'm really glad that he was able to start his own firm and get a teaching job.
Similar to our ladies, right?
Yeah.
They weren't hired at firms, so they had to make their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In Houston, Ducey worked at the Grimes Elementary School, which closed in 2011, and Dotson Elementary School, which closed in 2014, which was a little contentious, but y'all can look that up later. It has nothing to do with Ducey, so I won't digress.
Oh, okay. Noted. I will do my own research.
Oh, but I'm curious to know why, though.
Yeah.
I was just like, let me research these schools. Oh, okay. At some point in her life, Ducey retired from teaching and dedicated herself to raising her three children, John, Sondria, and Anthony, as well as helping her husband manage his architecture practice.
I'm sure she was a great mom and love that she's helping out with the business too. Also, she married a John and had a John of her own. There's a lot of John happening in this story. Just clocking it.
It's one of the most common names in the U.S.
That's true. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised.
I mean, that's true. But it's like the story of Noma and the Book of John. Or from the Book of John.
Okay.
John's.
Wasn't her dad also John? Like, I just feel like there's just a lot. They're like, we really like it.
John be everywhere.
Ducey was also there at the early Noma days, doing all the things the wives of the founders did to get the organization rolling.
That's right, she was.
A true supportive partner.
This wasn't the only way Ducey was leaving her mark on the built environment and the profession of architecture. Throughout her life, she hosted fundraisers, political receptions, and social events of all kinds. She was also super involved in all sorts of community efforts. She served on the boards of the Municipal Arts Commission, the Institute of International Education, the Houston Botanic Garden, Emancipation Park Conservancy, and Houston Museum of African American Culture.
I love this. She is involved and doing all of the things.
I'm guessing this is after retiring from teaching, right?
I think so.
Just like our ladies.
A typical lady retirement.
Right. Doing all the things. But I really like how involved she was.
I'm including the Houston Botanic Garden and the Houston Museum of African American Culture in my personal art ventures list.
Yes.
And the three of us should go next time you come visit me.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I haven't been to the Museum of African American Culture, but I've been to the Botanic Gardens and it's gorgeous. It opened on September 18, 2020. And I remember going in early 2021, socially distancing with my friend Kelly. If I find pictures, I'll post them on the show notes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would love to go. And I'd also love to see pictures if you have them.
Love it. From the pictures online, the park looks lovely.
Yeah. Juicy never stopped being involved. A week before she passed away, she went to visit the Houston Botanic Garden. And according to her friend that went with her, Juicy was proud to be a part of it coming to life. After that, she was a panelist in a University of Texas/Rice Design Alliance webinar discussing the history of her home in Third Ward, designed by her husband.
I love that she was doing all these things right at the very end. You know, no surprise, like we said.
For real.
Juicy passed away on January 19, 2021.
Wow, she lived a long, full life. And it sounds like she was involved the entire time. She was busy.
Oh, yeah. It's also just nice to see how she continued her husband's legacy as well.
Yeah, it is. Did John pass away before her? And what happened to his firm? Did Juicy keep it going? Did John and Juicy stay involved with Noma throughout their lives? I have a lot of follow-up questions.
Well, John passed away in 2012. He would have been around 87 years old.
Okay.
From what I can tell, the firm did not keep going after his passing.
Okay.
I do believe they both stayed involved with Noma through their various outreach, volunteer, networking efforts throughout their lives as much as they could. Actually, John was president of Noma in 1975.
Oh.
He was a recipient of the Noma Design for Excellence Award for 4 consecutive years.
Whoa.
Yeah. And in 1980, President Jimmy Carter called John to serve on the United States Commission on Fine Arts. Mm. In 2018, the Houston chapter of Noma did an exhibition called Chasing Perfection in honor of John. I bet Juicy was there front and center. Mm-hmm. And I would say that this was a trailblazing power couple their whole lives.
That's really cool. I'm glad we got to learn so much about Noma, Juicy, and John today.
Hear, hear.
Woo!
All right. Now we have reached the second part of our episode, the caryatid. A caryatid is a stone carving of a woman used as a column or a pillar to support the structure of a Greek or Greek-style building. In each episode, we choose a caryatid, a woman who is working today, furthering the profession through their work, and who ties into the historical woman of our episode. Drum roll, please. Cheryl McAfee and Roberta Washington, the first 2 women to be NOMA presidents.
Yeah.
I was so inspired by these 2 ladies, I could not pick one. So now we get to learn about both. I'll start with Cheryl McAfee. She was born in 1958 in Wichita, Kansas. Her mom was Gloria Mirth Winston, a public school teacher and principal. Her dad was Charles F. McAfee, an architect who founded the architecture firm Charles F. McAfee Architects, Engineers, and Planners. Today, the firm is called McAfee 3.
Cool.
I love it.
Cheryl's sister, Charles, with an A, Frenna McAfee Duncan, is also an architect and works at McAfee as a principal based in the Dallas office. They have offices in Texas, y'all.
Yeah.
Woo. Okay, back to Cheryl with an E. She graduated with a B.Arch in 1979 from Kansas State University and 3 years later with an M.Arch from Harvard University. While she was at school, she interned at the Architects Collaborative, aka TAC, under Sarah P. Harkness.
We talked about the TAC during episode 139, Judith Chafee. It was a group that started a firm and organization that I think most folks recognize Walter Gropius as being a part of.
Yeah, and Marcel Breuer.
After the internship, she began working at McAfee in 1981. Then, in 1990, she was the first woman to receive an architecture license in the state of Kansas, which blows my mind that we were alive or about to be by the time this happened. I could barely believe it. I looked it up like 3 times.
That is wild.
That same year, she moved to Atlanta to prepare to lead the design and construction for all 33 sports venues of the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta. To this day, the firm has offices in Wichita, Atlanta, and Dallas.
Wow, that's such a cool commission. I love the Olympics, as some of you might already know. So that would be really fun, but also really challenging. There's so many buildings.
Yeah. Now, this is giving me Norma Scholaric vibes, okay? Designing such prestigious and iconic buildings. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somehow, she found time for volunteering and activism. She had been an active member of NOMA and in 1995 became president of the organization, making her the first female president of NOMA.
Yeah, get it, Cheryl?
Ooh, yeah, she is.
Which brings us to the second female president of NOMA, Roberta Washington. Let's learn about her.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Roberta has a really cute architecture origin story. When she was in middle school, she had an assignment to write about three professions that she was interested in. She had two in mind. So her mom suggested she interview their next door neighbor. And that neighbor happened to be an architect. After she heard about architecture from an architect, she was hooked.
That's so cute. I love that she was inspired by her neighbor.
Yeah, that's actually really cute.
She had a goal, become an architect. In pursuit of this, she achieved a BArch from Howard University in 1970. And just a year later, she received a full scholarship and completed an MArch from Columbia University.
Way to go, Roberta.
Love.
During her school years, Roberta was a highly involved student. She was an active participant of the AIA and the Alliance of Women in Architecture, AWA.
That's right. Get involved.
AWA was cool, okay? It started out as a grassroots organization that helped women in the industry. They had job boards, organized conferences, and workshops. It's a very cool group.
She also helped on the mission to shine a light on the legacies of Black architects. She researched and wrote about the first two Black women to become licensed architects in the U.S., Beverly Lorraine Green and Georgia Louise Harris Brown.
Yes, we have an episode about these two ladies, episode 8. Check it out if you haven't already.
Yeah, I think I used her work as a reference, so you can look at episode 8 in their show notes. Or for my show notes about her resource.
That's so cool. What a full circle moment right now. After Colombia, she moved to Mozambique, where she invested 4 years working on hospital and housing projects. Then in 1983, she began her own firm, Roberta Washington Architects. At the time, this was one of the very few architecture firms in the United States led by an African-American woman.
Oh, very cool. I like that she went and got international experience. And way to go coming back to start her own firm.
And now we arrive at the moment we've been waiting for. In 1997, she followed Cheryl and became the second female president of NOMA.
Woo! Yeah!
She continued her journey of collaboration, involvement, and leadership throughout her career. She was elected to the board of directors of the Society of Architectural Historians in 2021, and today she's on the board of the NOMA Foundation.
Amazing. So the NOMA Foundation is a nonprofit that was founded in 1976 to support NOMA. They fund educational, cultural, and historic initiatives that promote diversity in design. Their goal is to grow the number of licensed minority architects, and they do this through fellowships, scholarships, and mentorship of underrepresented students.
Hear, hear.
Mm. And wow, Roberta is also involved in all the things. I can definitely see the connection between Cheryl, Roberta, and Drusy. Not just the NOMA connection, though obviously that's definitely part of it, but all three of them are involved in organizations trying to promote their communities, right?
Yeah. Talk about collective impact, okay?
Yeah.
This was such a great episode for this season to talk about what the theme was.
Agreed.
Yay! Before we say goodbye, we want to say thank you to CMYK for the music, John W., our technical advisor, and most of all, thank you for listening.
Remember to check out our show notes for links to all of our resources on this episode, as well as pictures of projects we've talked about.
We hope you enjoyed learning about today's lady and caryatid along with our banter, and that you are inspired to find out more about them and other amazing professional ladies.
Please let us know what you thought of our episode. If you've enjoyed it, please help us spread the word. Tell your friends, colleagues, sisters, and brothers, and tell them to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify, and write us a review. This will all help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies with us.
Your support means everything to us. If you've enjoyed our content and want other ways to help us with our mission, you can support us by visiting our website for merchandise.
If you don't need any more swag, but you'd still like to consider supporting the research we're doing, you can donate to us on our website, shebuildspodcast.com/donate. Or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/shebuildspodcast. You can also find links to all of these items on our website.
She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at GableMedia.com. That's GableMedia.com.
We're excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com, leave a comment on our website at shebuildspodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at shebuildspodcast and on X at shebuildspod. Until then, see ya.
Bye.
Bye.
We like name dropped a whole bunch of organizations.
So many.
Yeah.
You want to stop?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we can stop now.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for someone to be like, stop.
Stop.